How St Margaret avenged sacrilege at Quadring. In the ancient Gothic church of St Margaret at Quadring is a very curious font with eight faces, on which some fanciful devices are cut. Underneath is a Latin inscription, but the person's names cannot be deciphered. It runs thus: "Pray for the soul of who caused this font to be made." In connection with the church, an interesting local legend persists, which also throws light on the superstitions of the 15th century. In the days of the fourth Henry, there lived at a country mansion called Nut Hall, not far from Quadring, an old man known as Simon Greenleaf. He was immensely rich and, according to village gossip, dined off gold plate every night. Be that as it may, he was most certainly addicted to magic and had a tower at the southwesterly extremity of the hall, wherein he would practice the forbidden arts of the devil. One day, as he was weaving spells, after the manner of Faust, there came into his mind the idea of playing a trick on the priest who served the church at Quadring. The latter had been for some time past an inveterate enemy of Simon's, partly on account of his objection to the old man's cruelty, but mainly because he suspected the squire of magical practices. Wherefore there was no love lost between them, and it rejoiced Simon Greenleaf's heart to perpetrate the mischief suggested. The priest was in the habit of placing overnight by the font a large pitcher of water for christenings, and Simon determined to fill the pitcher with a special devil's brew, which should have the colourless appearance of water, but which would utterly destroy the soul of any unfortunate child baptised therein. So he wove his spells and gathered together the gruesome ingredients of the bowl. The liver of an unbaptised child he mixed with the eyes of a toad, and the blood of seven fresh-killed rats. To these he added strips of flesh from a strangled babe, and the thumbs of a suicide dug up from the crossroads at midnight. Water from a pond wherein a maiden had been forcibly drowned, and herbs gathered on All Souls' Eve, completed the contents, which were boiled in a cauldron for 7 hours over a slow fire. When all was ready, he added the magic potion which should transform the liquid into the transparency of water and set forth upon his diabolical errand. Needless to say, the church was closed for the night when he reached the entrance porch, but it was the work of a moment to smash a panel and creep through to the choir. With many a chuckle at the thought of what would happen to the children baptised the next day, he approached the font and carefully emptied the pitcher of water on the floor. The moonlight flooded the nave, lighting in vivid outline the bent figure on the font steps. With a final gesture of contempt for everything appertaining to the worship of God, he produced his flask and poured the hellish contents into the empty pitcher. Then, straightening up, he laughed again, exclaiming, "There, sir priest, you will have a fine pitcher of water for your christening tomorrow." But on the instant, his limbs stiffened and his eyes nearly started from his head. Out of the ground in front of the altar rose a strange flickering light, which presently resolved into the image of a tall maiden with a halo of golden flame around her head. Slowly advancing with outstretched arm, the vision approached until fire from her body seemed to scorch him where he stood. "So, this is how you profane God's holy temple. This is how you treat the sacred edifice of St. Margaret. As you would do unto others, so shall it be done unto you, that you may know how the very angels hasten to defend the innocent from devils incarnate." With a sweep of her white arm, she lifted the pitcher of defilement and signed to the trembling wretch before her to depart from the holy precincts. Strangely enough, the door, which had been fast shut, now stood open, and the miserable Simon hastened to the churchyard, the apparition close at his heels. Suddenly the saint, raising the pitcher, dashed its contents full in the face of the Lord of Nut Hall, whereupon arose so violent a screaming as brought in haste from their beds a full half score of neighbours. And what a sight greeted them as they entered the churchyard! lying over a tombstone with an expression of such terror on his face as made the boldest onlooker blanch, was the body of Simon Greenleaf. A mark of fire showed upon his breast, while his clothes appeared besmirched with some liquid that still trickled over the pathway. By his side lay the fragments of the pitcher, and on entering the church it was observed that the pitcher of baptism was missing. But what amazed the beholders still more was a strange purple light filling the nave and sanctuary, and the curious smell of sweet spices hovering particularly over the font. "Brethren, we are witnesses of punishment for sin," began the spokesman solemnly. "We know not what has occurred, but the presence of the magical portends only one possibility. Simon Greenleaf, the Lord of Nut Hall, sought to meddle with what he did not understand, and swift indeed was the vengeance of heaven upon his impropriety." Whereupon the whole assembly knelt in prayer for the space of an hour, until the grey light of dawn swept away the memories of a night of terror.